Welcome to episode 237 of The Lab. I'm Brad Barton.
I'm Phil Barton.
Today, we have links about raccoons available on the show page, and you can find that by visiting thelabwithbrad.com. Raccoons. Raccoons, because that's what the episode is about.
Yeah,
well, right, that was a giveaway.
I don't know, Lone Ranger, Zorro.
Yeah.
1930s bandit. I don't know. They have a mask.
Yes. Did you hear my sword noise? I was really proud of it.
Oh, no, I missed it.
I'm
less proud of it. Anyway, I want to try to tear through this because we talked a lot on Monday. Raccoons. Should we mention what the episode's about?
So not cats.
Not cats. Oh, there's a couple of relatives of the raccoons that get called cats.
Well,
it's a skunk cat. It's a bear cat. It's a, you know, there's one way. It's a bear and a weasel. I'm still fascinated by the mask, right?
Yeah.
The little bitty, hey, I'm El Zorro Raccoono.
It's consistent. I mean, they're all robbers.
Yes. It's probably just I'm a raccoon. I wear this little masky thingy so that other raccoons can tell that I'm a raccoon. But you're talking about baseball players, right? Putting the stuff around their eyes.
Yeah, for sun glare.
For sun glare. And here they are, mostly nocturnal. So
why? Moon glare?
Moon glare. You know what I think it might be for, or at least help out with? Mm-hmm. Are those occasions when they do wake up and do something during the day.
Ah, it's too bright out here.
Yeah. You're a critter and you go for the nighttime. You go for a set of nighttime eyes, right? Mm. Daytime, everything hurts. Everything hurts.
Do they have thumbs?
No, not really.
Oh.
Like that whole thing for humans and our thumbs where you can actually touch the tip of every other finger with your thumb.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really rare.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I knew that, but they wash stuff and I don't know.
They wash stuff and you're going to take up all the raccoon stuff and we won't have crap to talk about on Wednesday.
This is true. They're cute and cuddly.
Hey, the Dorg, right?
Right.
The latest batch of digital organisms have, in fact, converged on proper solutions. There, I said it. I meant it.
Wow, neat. What's a proper solution look like?
The best possible solution for the problem they got right now would give them a score of 9,992.
Okay.
The best I've seen is 8,921. Pretty close.
Getting there.
So that was only running for about 10 minutes.
Don't they start from negative 4 billion or negative something?
Well, because a negative score is possible, I started by setting the score to an arbitrarily low number, like negative 2 billion.
Perfect.
So that if they did get a negative score at first and that was the best score, four reasons.
That's
what I wanted to say. Okay, I'm working on these little things and I'd stumbled across an algorithm I didn't. I started it as a joke, but then it turned out to mix well with a standard crossover. But this stuff does terrible on the podcast. It's much better as a blog post. So you might want to hang around thelabwithbrad.com, where hopefully there will be a blog post open by the time this episode comes.
We got a week.
Thank Phil for helping me figure out how to make line graphs.
Which was ridiculously easy once I found it.
Yeah, it's pretty easy. I also want to try using the voice to listen to the lines. I think that might go faster than I opened up one of them, right? I got 1,000 samples and I'm reading them. Arrow down, arrow down, arrow down.
Oh, goodness.
This is fascinating. I actually was a little bit fascinated. Oh, look at that.
Brad's been gone for a month. What's he arrow down here? And
he's got 1,000,000 samples to get through today. So what's happening with the weather and or earthquakiness?
Oh, yeah, okay. Biggest earthquakes of late have been a 6.2 and a 6.0 next to Indonesia.
Still down there, huh?
Yeah, right on top of each other. They happened about a half an hour apart.
Ah.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, way back when we first started the earthquake thing, we didn't mention the earthquake we'd had.
There was one.
You reminded me of it again. Yeah, we were talking about this on the porch, because I remember when the news came out, there had been the one earthquake, and then there had been another earthquake just a few minutes later.
Hmm.
And like a few hundred yards apart as far as where the... what the
epicenter?
The epicenter was. So, yeah. Double quakes, man. Two for the price of...
Cost the planet? I don't know. What's the cost here? Those are the most interesting earthquakes. Next to us, Washington State, it hasn't been that interesting. We've been scattered or shotgun blasted with a bunch of little one-pointers, but who cares?
It's like across the state?
Across the middle of the state. Following the mountains, curiously.
Well, almost as if there's a fault line or something there. Yeah.
But while that's calmed down, the weather has gone nuts.
Mm.
Since last week, the worst... damage caused by wind was actually caused by Imelda, which is a tropical depression.
Not a hurricane. Not, oh, yeah. Did you ever find out what that means?
Yes. Still a cyclone, but very slow-moving winds.
Ah, okay.
But
it still dumped tons and tons and tons and tons of water on Houston.
Yes. They were all like, oh, it's not a hurricane, so they relaxed about
we'll
it.
We'll be fine.
And lost.
Wait.
Lost in the Wilderness was one expert going, just because it's a depression. Still a cyclone.
Still a storm, still flooded.
Yes.
All right. Well, I think that's enough for today. Let's come back and do raccoons.
Okay, but okay.
Oh, you got another thing? I'm sorry.
There's three other hurricanes.
Really?
Yeah, it's hurricane season. Hold on here. Hurricane season. So I wrote out my notes today. There they are. So, currently they're looking at a Hurricane Karen that was a real hurricane, but it slowed down. Just glancing at it, I think it's a hurricane again, but that's the plan. It's going to be, that's the plan.
What kind of knobs are you playing with over there?
I don't know what's going on.
Let's turn Karen up a notch or two.
It's not my fault. Anyways, it's supposed to become a hurricane again. And then there's a, who comes up with these names? There's a Lorenzo.
I like that one.
Yeah, it's
Lorenzo.
It's not even really a hurricane yet, but they know enough to have named it. You know what I mean?
I think I heard once that what they do is they go down the alphabet
mm-hmm.
for the first letter
mm-hmm.
and alternate between a guy and a girl's name.
Oh. Okay.
But I don't know who's doing that. I don't, what a job. This one's Lorenzo.
Well, that might make the next one make sense. And there's also a Hurricane Jerry.
Ah. Right.
It's in the works. So, windy as heck.
Now we're done?
Now we're done.
Their washing behavior.
Yeah.
That is stereotypical, because they spend a lot of time hunting along streams and shores of lakes and ponds.
Mm-hmm.
They stick their little hands in, and they find things they can eat, and then they eat it.
Okay.
So when they're in captivity and they're holding some food, especially if it looks like something that might have come from the water,
uh-huh.
You know, wait a minute. Something has... I've skipped a step here. So raccoons, 5 to 20 pounds adult weight.
That's heavier than I thought.
Yeah, it is a little bigger than I thought, especially on that upper range. I saw one website that claimed that some of them get up to 60 pounds.
Okay.
But I don't believe it. Nobody else said that. And that's like a mid-sized dog right there.
They can get up to 60 pounds because we did it once.
We did it. We're going to force-fed the poor little raccoon.
Who's a good raccoon?
And they're omnivores. They eat just about anything.
Mm.
Very good at stealing, pilfering eggs from nests, or even little hatchlings before they get out of the nest.
Oh,
birds.
We used to have a chicken lady. She must have hated raccoons.
Well, possibly, yeah.
Yeah.
They would. They're also known for eating the chicken feed, so...
Anything to do with chickens, apparently. How come they aren't called chicken hawks? Anyways.
Well, aside from not eating chickens directly and... Not being a hawks, bird.
Okay.
Anyway, They don't make very good pets.
Oh, no. What?
No, they
People
are,
have them as pets.
They are intelligent and inquisitive and curious. This is the problem. They've also got very nimble little, grabby little hands, which can open drawers and cabinets and jars and pull out stoppers. And you can see where the problem could occur at some point.
So, yeah, it's starting to seem like the people that have them as pets would agree with you.
I mean, it would be a high-maintenance pet, right? In addition, the males can get really aggressive around mating season.
Well, okay.
You know,
look at me.
They do like to mark their territory with urine and feces.
And feces.
And excretion from their anal glands. But, you know, none of that sounds pleasant.
Oh, my goodness. That's worse than a cat by, like, two other things.
One of the things they did when they were studying their intelligence, actually, was, how good are you at opening locks? They asked the raccoon. By that, I mean, like, here is a lock. If you can open it, you get a marshmallow.
Oh, okay.
They turned out to be very good at opening various complicated mechanical locks. And another thing they found is that they can remember how to open a complicated lock for years.
So when they give them a lock, it's not like a closed-up system. Like when I think of a lock, you know, it's got a key, and you can't see what makes the lock open when you turn the key.
Well, having not actually seen the experiment, I got a YouTube video. There's a link.
for your viewing pleasure.
Exactly.
Never mind.
Yes. But it does become a problem. I actually ran into this sentiment from a number of different researchers who were asked about raccoons. These are people who are saying raccoons are really intelligent. I'd love to study them, but I'd have to turn my lab into a maximum security facility just to keep them in here. Then there's the Aesop's fable test.
Okay.
The fable is about a pitcher of water.
Okay.
A raven can't reach the water.
That's right.
Yeah, it's too far down.
Uh-huh.
So he drops a bunch of stones in there until the level is high enough for him to drink it.
Huh.
They have actually done this test on monkeys, birds, and human children.
Okay.
But instead of just, hey, you need the water high enough to be able to drink it, there's a marshmallow.
This has become the accepted reward.
Yeah, it's a thing. And it's floating at the top, and, you know, marshmallows do dissolve over time in liquid, so there's a time limit here.
Ooh. Sense of urgency. It's important.
Mm-hmm. So they tried it with raccoons. They had 8 of them, and 2 of them figured out how to drop stones in the water, bring the water level up. One of them, okay. The experimental setup has a nice broad base, big sturdy platform.
Mm-hmm.
This raccoon, she climbs up on the thing and starts rocking back and forth.
Okay.
Until she manages to tip the whole thing over.
Okay.
At which point the marshmallow comes floating out of the tube. Yummy, yummy. But they moved on to do another test where they have the choice between balls that sink in water to lift the water level or balls that float.
Okay.
The problem with the ones that float is that they block access to the marshmallow.
Yeah.
But.
Wait.
Couple of the raccoons, same one who had figured out how to do it before, they'd put the floaty ball in there and then start pumping it up and down to make water and bits of marshmallow squirt up the side of the tube.
I like this.
Another one of them took a floating ball, deliberately trapped the marshmallow between it and the tube wall, and then pushed and spun the ball. And
You're kidding me.
Then licked all the marshmallow back off the ball.
Oh, wow. They win.
Yeah, they are. How do you score that, though?
I know. It's like this is what we wanted
this
them to do.
This is not what they, yeah.
They broke the test. They win.
They've actually run across this problem before with some primates. I can't remember which one was which, but one of them learned that they could spit into the tube. Mm-hmm. And that would, with enough force to make the marshmallow bounce up.
Wow.
Another one figured they could fill it up with their urine, no problem.
Oh.
And it's funny that the other group that is able to do this are primates, because raccoons for their size, have enough neurons to be like a monkey.
Really?
Yes. They have, well, there were two raccoons they studied. One of them had 395 million neurons.
Okay.
The other had 512 million neurons.
Okay.
So it kind of varies from one individual to another. But very smart. Which is odd, because they don't really fit the typical I'm a smart critter profile. The thing that is most different about them, as compared to some of the other intelligent critters, is their lifespan.
Nah.
In the wild, they live an average of 2 to 3 years.
This, yeah, that's not very long.
Now, most of them die within the first year. They're like a business.
Okay.
Females reach sexual maturity in just 1 year. Males do in 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So there's none of that prolonged childhood. They're done with their mothers in about a year.
Yeah.
If they manage to make it past those first few years, they typically live about 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
I think the record was like 17 or 20 years in captivity.
Oh, I get it. So 2 to 3 years is an average. Because so many of them die so young.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, but we're not getting the extended childhood or delayed sexual maturity you get from, oh, I don't know, elephants.
Uh-huh.
Or even the social insects. I mean, I'll tell you what, I was looking at this and I'm like, okay, so what is it that's so special about raccoons? Why do they get so many extra neurons? They have, or at least are claimed to have, the best sense of touch
out
of any mammal.
Oh. Very highly developed sense of some sort. Your brain gets big.
Well, yes and no. I mean, if you remember the ichthyosaur, that's the dolphin-looking... Well, it's not a dinosaur, but let's just say the dolphin-looking dinosaur.
Okay. It's old. Okay.
The largest vertebrate eyes on record.
Okay.
And they got enlarged optic tectum.
Uh-huh.
Right? Yeah, the bit of the brain that has to do with sight. But not, okay. not a general increase in brain size. At least as far as we can tell.
Hmm.
Same thing with modern raptorial birds.
Okay.
Hawks, eagles, kestrels. Some of them have enormous eyes for their size and very acute vision.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not especially smart.
Birds.
Have you seen an eagle on the ground?
Yes. Majestic eagle. How do I move my body?
This is especially on the ice. But as far as the sense of touch, especially when paired with motor skills,
mm-hmm.
I including the raccoon, there are three. And it's interesting that one of them, the octopus,
mm-hmm.
also has a lifespan of 1 to 3 years or so.
Huh.
And the other one, the elephant, It is not an omnivore. It also has its own little things that aren't quite the same.
Yeah, all huge.
But all three of these have an extra sensitive sense of touch and are really coordinated with their arms or tentacles or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
And the raccoon has fairly poor vision.
I did, really?
Yes. So does the elephant.
Oh.
And I've been reading all these theories about how intelligence starts, and a lot of them talked about vision.
Mm-hmm.
And well, no.
Well, it would have made sense.
So that's what I'm getting from raccoons. A few exceptions, but kind of in line with the octopus and the elephant. In the report where I found out how big the raccoon brains are, they also compared them to cats and dogs.
Mm-hmm.
So next time, let's talk about dogs.
That's that. Okay.
Yeah, that's the whole story. We'll see you then.
Well, bye.